following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Everybody, and welcome to Turn 60 of A Worthy Opponent, a podcast of Hearthstone, the Blizzard game, the oh-so-casual... Do I have to repeat it again, guys?
Maybe just one more time.
Okay, the oh-so-casual podcast, because we are oh-so-casual players, with sometimes a trick or two up our sleeves, but mostly we're in it for the fun. So if you're in it for the elitism, this isn't the podcast for you unless you just want to have fun listening to us. And hopefully newer players can glean some information from us. But I am rambling. With me in the studio, I am Black Lace, Autumn's Bane.
Prepare party servos for immediate deployment.
I don't know what that is.
How did you get the flavor text? You can't even look it up and cheat.
Yes, you can. Anyway, I'll tell you later because it's an ancient Chinese secret.
And it's not a panda of some sort?
It's the Blingtron 3000!
Oh-ho!
5 casting costs, 3-4 mech. Battlecry, equip a random weapon for each player.
Speaking of the Blingtron 3000, there is one in Warcraft, isn't there?
Yes, there is, and that's why I brought this up.
We were made aware of this.
So... when we were going over the various Blingtrons, I think you said there was no Blingtron 3000.
That would be me.
And so our listener Fritzel actually tweeted a picture on our Twitter feed of the Brawler's Guild Blingtron 3000, along with his friend Blingtron 2000. And there's a picture of it. And I realized as soon as I saw the picture that my character had that quest to fight Blingtron 3000 in my bags for like a year. So as soon as I saw the picture, I'm like, oh yes, there is a Blingtron 3000. So Fritzel, thank you for correcting us and giving visual proof.
Yeah, Brawler's Guild and I don't get along very well.
I don't know anything about that.
I'm a healer, yeah.
It's only for damage dealers.
It really is. I mean, I can't heal the mob to death, so... Well, I know I'm disciplined. I kind of can, but... Back to Hearthstone.
Yeah, Micmac's back to Hearthstone. He quit WoW to play more Hearthstone.
That's right. Micmac's here in the studio with us. Micmac!
Well met.
Yeah. The crowd goes wild.
Speaking of bling, I got a little bit of bling from the holidays. As some
did
Christmas
you?
Gifts. I did. I got a Hearthstone pillow and I got a Hearthstone mug.
Ooh.
Okay,
very
so
nice.
You could mail that to... in Vermont.
123 Fake Street.
Phone number is 555-1234.
As long as you pay for shipping and handling, which is $100, no problem. No questions asked.
Congratulations. Did you get any cards?
I did. I also got a little gift card to buy some packs, but I didn't get anything noteworthy in there. Just a lot of rares, and I got a lot of dust. That's what I got from it.
Yes, but with the dust, you can do something like I did last week on the air.
Yeah, after 6 months of collecting it.
I did,
collecting
actually.
Collecting dust.
I made two cards with that.
What'd you make?
I made Dr. Boom and Bouncing Blade.
You made Dr. Boom? That's kind of funny because somebody mentions you ran off with his Dr. Bloom, but we'll get into that later. Dr. Boom, not Bloom.
I love Bouncing Blade.
It's cool. Very, very cool animation.
I love my Trog.
Trog.
Trogzor.
Trogzor, the Earthen Eater. Yes, I did play with him a lot this week, and Yeah, he scared people a lot. He was like on the board and off the board quicker than almost any card I've ever seen before. Big, big, big target on his chest.
Did he get to make another little trog?
He did, because whenever somebody blows him up and with a spell, he manages to get the trog off before he dies. So even when somebody kills him, I get an instant trog.
People make that mistake a lot with that card.
Instead of hitting it with direct damage, they do it with spells.
Right, they think that they can get around killing it before the trog pops out, and that's not how it works.
Yeah, the only way you can do that is...
listening to me? That's what brought this whole thing up.
You're right.
By me talking about
you.
Me trying
he
to kill the Trogzor.
He wasn't here last week.
Oh, but he listened to us.
I did.
And he did giggle.
I bet your dog remembers.
Yeah, let me ask Reggie. See what he says about it.
Yeah, that was the whole point, that I tried to deadly shot Trogzor, and boop, I deadly shot at a different troll, a Trog.
His son.
His son. There you go. Bane, right? It's
Trog's Bane. Trog no, wait, Bane. Doesn't work either. Bane Trog.
Trog Cairn.
But anyway.
Trog Bane.
Welcome back, McMack. You were missed.
Thank you.
A lot of our listeners missed you
too.
Not
by us, but the listeners all told us.
Right.
How sweet.
So many emails of bring him back. You guys are horrible.
Steal his pension. He was fired.
We had a good week for emails, so we're going to be reading a few of them on the air this week. Thank you all for your emails. Again, people are begging Micmac now to play with their decks, so that's definitely going to keep going. New card backs were released on the 1st, the Gnome card backs. I actually haven't played with it. What about you guys?
Well, remember I've been saying that all I ever see anybody play is the basic card back?
Yeah.
Well, the last two people I played had the new card back.
I've played a couple of pirate card backs lately.
Still, a lot of basic card backs. I just don't get it.
I like Ice Crown. I've still been playing the Ice Crown. But the next one, that's going to be one I'm going to play for a while. Marauding Maraud.
I don't know how I feel about this card back.
It's pretty.
It is. It's pretty. I don't want to play with a pretty card back, though. I want to play with like a very rough looking card back. Like, I wish
but
it had the
pretty.
But listen to me. Listen to me, both of you. This is a Draenei, and I have been playing Draenei since they were Draenei. And Maraud, he was very important Draenei. And this card, it looks so Draenei that I cannot wait to trade my pumpkin in at last for this Draenei card.
In Soviet Silvermoon, mount rides you.
I'm actually going to trade my pumpkin
You're
for this
mounted
one.
By your mount. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I was trying to get past that. You just let it go.
Sorry. I went right there. I can't help it. So, yes, I like the card back. I think it's pretty pastel-y. There are crystals and shiny things, and it's Draenei. It's nice. I like it. I will play with it. I will
so
get
I
it.
So I wonder
because...
if they're going to have other race-specific cards or hero-specific card backs.
That's a good theory.
I mean, this is covering the Draenei, and we could have a Night Elf card. And
they did the goblins. Right? They did the gnomes. They did. Now they're doing the Draenei, so maybe they're going to do dwarf and Night Elf. So, yeah, very, very possible.
So
I can
the dwarf
think of good
back
ones.
Will just be a beard. Just a patch of hair. The whole back will be a beard.
I don't think so.
No.
I like
maybe
it.
Maybe not. We'll probably have hammers and dwarven runes and stuff. Be cool.
Autumn's Bane. Let's change it up a little bit. Instead of doing emails at the end of the show, let's do some emails at the beginning of the show so that we can definitely give time to the people who spent time writing to us. Nathan Nyes had something to say.
Nathan.
And Honest Bane
okay.
is going to read it.
Yes. I recognize this player. He's been in our tournaments. Hello, Chiba Tank here. Been a long time listener. Keep rocking with your casual flag flying. I had to stop listening to your last turn to write you this email. Don't worry, I'll go back and finish it. Please, please, please do a follow-up on the Trogzor the Earthinator, where you help spread the word on what this is referencing. consider it a PSA, since not one podcast has gotten it when they talk about him. Google Trogdor the Burninator. Trogdor the Burninator with Strong Bad. Watch the video, and then you will understand the true power of his card and will have a great soundtrack that goes through your mind when you play him. I ask this since Homestar Runner was my jam back in the early stoner days. I'm sure you can relate, and don't try to deny it, because I can smell it on you, or maybe that's still me. But either way, where was I? Oh yes, good job on firing Micmac. He was a terrible marriage counselor. We want to go see him, and he wound up running off with my golden Dr. Boom. Not that I knew he swung that way, but who wouldn't go for a golden Dr. B? Thanks, and keep up the good work. Super Bad for Prez 2016. Sent from his iPhone. I didn't understand half of that.
I understood everything, and thank you, Chiba Tank, for sending that email, because Homestar Runner was my jam, too. I never smoked. I was never a stoner, but when I was in high school, that was the website that we always used to visit. It was hysterical.
Well, that explains everything, because when I was in high school, there was no such thing as a website or a web.
So you'll have to check it out. It's if it's still up, I don't know if it is, but it's some funny stuff. And there's a little, there's like a dragon called the Burninator, whatever his first name was. I can't remember how.
Trogdor,
even though he just said it, I couldn't remember it. And yeah, he looks like, if you look quickly at the card of Trogzor the Earthinator, it's the same shape, like an S shaped as the dragon.
Yeah, it's kind of Trogdor the Burninator is, yes, he's S-shaped, and he's got these muscular arms and legs coming off the S, and it's kind of funny looking, but I have to search around and listen a little more. I didn't find the song.
So you're basically saying that Trogzor the Earthinator was copied from this Trogdor the Burninator, whatever that happens to be.
Yep, okay. Another Blizzard Easter egg.
Yep, so Nathan, thank you for pointing that out to us, because I didn't know about it. I had never heard of it. Funny, cute little cartoony thing.
So is this a song? Is this a band?
The one I did was mostly a video. And he was just like drawing it in a book.
Yeah, Homestar Runner was just a collection of videos of like these animated people. And they just walk around and they just say a bunch of nonsense. But it has a lot of humor to it.
So like a cartoon strip?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, I'll have to look it up. I hadn't read this email prior to the show.
But thank you for the email. Micmac, would you read Ben's, a.k.a. Midget?
Midget, yes. So, hi all from Newcastle, Australia. Wow, around the world. First of all, great show. I love the down-to-earth style and the info you all provide. Keep up the good work. Smiley face. Listening to Turn 59 in regards to Mech Mage deck I have been using, one based on the BlizzPro.tv video podcast. Although fairly heavily tweaked to suit my own preferences, of course. Okay. I haven't ever finished the season above rank 20, but this deck alone was able to get me to 17 by the end of December. Not bad. That's actually great. I think with a few more tweaks, it can go even further. I also have been developing a Mech Warrior weapon deck, and it has also proven quite successful, with most games winning on average by turn 6. Of course, depending on initial card draw. I'm more than happy to provide my deck list, but first, would you like to do battle with them and see how they fare? Cheers again, Midget. Well, Midget, I would love to see anything Warrior I absolutely love. And I haven't been able to make a good Warrior mech deck work yet, so if you have, send it on in.
Yeah, well, he didn't want to send it in right away. He first wanted to see if we wanted to play against him. I give that a definite thumbs up. Send us your battle tag so that we can add you to friends. And I would absolutely love to try it. I mean, I can't get beat any worse than I've been getting beat the last 4 or 5 days since the new year. Oh, my God.
It's been rough.
It has been a rough few days. Just everybody, and I've had people actually watching my games and whispering things to me to the effect of, wow, he can counter every single thing you're putting down. And I'm, yeah, this has been going on now for like 17 games. So, yeah, I'm still at rank 20. I'm very sad.
Well, it's funny. We're talking about warriors. I was playing a warrior mech deck not because I wanted to, but because I had a quest to win some warrior games. So I'm playing, and Frid gets on spectator mode, and he whispers me. He said, this is not pizza. No. That was another time. He did that another time. This time he just like, a warrior, and then he's like, tisk tisk, or something like that. I'm like, I'm not playing because I want to. It's because I'm trying to do a quest. But as is usually the case, because he was in spectator mode, I won with that crappy warrior deck. And then he left the spectator mode, and I have barely won a game since. It's just, I mean, I won enough to get me to 19, so I've got my card back for next month. But I just, this has been, as good as I said my game, my week was last turn, I was talking about how great my winning streak was. Mm-hmm. Well, RNG has revenge because all of the games I won just got reversed.
I hate to say this, but I pull the priest card. When I start getting really frustrated, I pull out my priest deck, and then I did last two games I played with the priest and won both of them. So I don't know if that's going to turn around my winning streak, and it kind of stinks that I'm playing the class I despise, but it makes me win.
Welcome to the dark side.
He thinks I protest too much. I think you don't hate the priest as much as you say.
Well, you know
what?
You
just hate playing against them. You don't hate playing them.
No, it's actually, there's one thing that the priests do that drive me crazy, and that's the make a light well a 97/97 creature. Those kinds of decks used to be very popular, where that's all you would run into, were the priests that were pumping them up and doubling their damage and then making their damage and their, or doubling their armor and then making their armor and their damage the same. And that got very old, but I'm not seeing that as much anymore. I'm seeing variations. I'm seeing shadow priests. Then, you know, when it starts doing that, then I have to say I do like it. I admit it. I said it.
Well, if you've been successful with the priest, why not just stick with it for a little while and just, you know, see how well that you do and how far it can take you.
Well,
My Vol'jin. Oh, wait.
Right. No, you can't trade. It's not a trading card game. I've actually been having a lot of fun with the rogue, and I'm thinking of making a mech rogue deck. I might have mentioned that last week. I've been a little scarce on time, but I'm kind of dancing away from my little shaman. Gonna make a mech rogue deck, and then maybe I'll play the priest more. But we deviated. We were reading emails, and I completely tangented us. I want to thank Alec. Yeah?
I was gonna say, Micmac and I read ours, so go ahead.
Well, I'm getting there. I'm not going to read Alex because Alex is full of loving us, and I love that he's loving us, but I don't want to, like, kind of slam that in our readers' faces. It's just very much thank you for sending us such a positive email. And he does ask that he would be added to our mailing list, so I'm going to make sure that Autosbane does that for you. We're going to add you to our mailing list. But Alec Latha, thank you very much for that wonderful email. The next email that I am going to read is basically this is more of a play of the week, but really a reverse play of the week. This was played against Dusty. Dusty Harshorn sent us a message saying, "Hey all, great podcast. Keep it up. Love listening to you all. Thought I would share one interesting combo that I had used against my control paladin deck. I was playing another paladin, and for much of the game, we were trading pieces. Last game, he dropped a 5-mana Bolvar, and that was a 16-7. Then he immediately dropped a 5-mana Faceless Manipulator to make another 16-7 Bolvar. Make another 16-7 Bolvar in the same turn. Needless to say, that sunk me." Ow! that's part of it, is luck of getting the two cards in your hand. Or maybe he was saving to make sure that the two cards came together. But yeah, that's a pretty deadly combination.
It is. And even if there was one Bolvar, maybe he could have dealt with it. But two, Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
So
yeah,
that's when
you have to call out Deathwing.
Yeah, just so people know, this is the one that we were talking about that you keep in your hand. And the reason it was so powerful was it was towards end game. It had to have been because he basically lost about 16 characters, 16 minions, because Bolvar is a 5 casting cost, 1/7. Whenever a friendly minion dies while this is in your hand, gain +1 attack. Being it's a paladin deck, obviously he was throwing out a lot of little 2-mana 1/1 creatures. So he pumped it up pretty quick, but it's going to be an endgame thing. Very interesting strategy. Cast your little cards so that they get killed quickly, pumps up Bolvar, and then put Bolvar down for a big rush.
Yeah, now, it's a very unique mechanic.
Yeah, now, is there a spare part card that makes a charge?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, there's not.
That would be brutal. That would have been totally brutal.
Let me tell you about my favorite spare part.
Let me tell you something. your favorite spare part? Do tell.
My favorite spare part. This week, anyway. There's one that that switches the health and power of a minion. And my opponent had a couple of 0 attack cards out. So I had been able to swap them. When 0 attack becomes 0 toughness, you know what happens.
They die.
Mm-hmm.
They die. So I got rid of one of those summoning portals that way. And there was at least one other. I can't think of it off the top of my head. It wasn't the Nerubian Egg. I wouldn't have done that to the Nerubian Egg. But in any event, it's proven to be quite handy. It's basically a kill card for 1 mana against those types of minions, obviously.
Right.
All the shaman totems die too that way. Almost
true.
All, except for the 1/1.
Yeah, that. Oh, what is it? Avenging totem? Or the one that gives everybody like +3 or something? Or the adjacent minions,
yeah,
+3.
Yeah, I can't remember the first name of it. Not Searing.
Yeah, I'm going to try and find it. But
wait, which one is it?
It's the totem that gives the adjacent minions +3 to attack.
That's one of the newer ones, right?
No, it's an old time one.
I don't use that one.
I'm trying to look for it now. People use it all the time and then make all their totems attack with it. I'm trying to find it. But anyway, I guess it helps to not look through my shaman cards. I mean my warlock cards. That's what I was doing.
Vitality totem?
No,
there's only the Manatide totem.
Okay, so I did use that spare part on the mana totem. A Manatide totem, but this is another
Flame
one.
Flame tongue totem.
Flame tongue totem. And that's... What kind of card is that?
It's a basic card. So if you're in crafting mode, you have to get out of there to see it.
Oh, no. I forgot to check my include soulbound cards. I wish that button would just stay on permanently.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Flame Tongue Totem. I hate this card. Adjacent minions have +2 attack, but it was 0/3. So I used a spare part. It became 3/0. Poof, dead.
That's great. Because that's a very deadly card when it comes
I
out,
just
especially
realized,
with Wind Fury.
I am such an idiot. I feel so dumb now because I use that card all the time. I don't know what I was thinking of. Yeah, that is put that on that card and it's dead. So yeah, most of the totems are.
Yeah,
looking
so
at the newer
parts
totems
have been really useful when they show up. So that 1 casting cost minion that people kill immediately sometimes lands me a very valuable spare part.
Yeah, the only new totem is the vitality totem. I'm sorry, I was really off base on that one.
Well, we all were, so we'll give each other a pass.
Yeah, that was very sad. Okay, well, since we're talking about cards, we've already gone through the druid, the hunter, and the mage. Why don't we talk about the new goblin versus gnome set paladins cards? And once again, thanks to everybody for the emails. Keep them coming. We'll read your emails on the air, or at least discuss them or say hi and thank you. But Paladin cards. Let's see. Micmac, we're going to make you start since you weren't here last week.
Ooh, I'm jumping in first. Okay. Yeah. Here comes the cannonball. So we have here the 2-mana Seal of Light. Restore 4 health to your hero and gain +2 attack this turn. I don't much care for it. I can see that it does 2 things, which is nice. But, I mean, I don't know why I would put this card in my deck over, say, like a True Silver Champion.
Well, you can only have 2 True Silver Champions.
True, but I think that's all that you really need. I think this is just sort of a filler, maybe if you don't have one True Silver Champion, which you definitely should because I think it's soulbound. But yeah, I don't know. I don't much care for this card. I haven't seen anybody use it. I've seen 1 or 2 people use it in Arena. But yeah, I probably wouldn't put it in a deck.
Yeah, I'm of the same mind.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really use it. I mean, 4 health is nice in a pinch. And if you've got one of those Silverhand recruits out, you know, you pump them up to +3. It's probably a combo card, you know, for a specialized deck. But in general play, I wouldn't use it.
I'm totally in agreement.
Because several of the cards that we have gone through that we've had this reaction to, I've seen show up in decks that were specifically designed to do something. Like the Druid Mill deck that kicked my butt this week.
Yes.
We were discussing the Mill deck before the show. May we continue that a little bit?
Sure, you want to
explain what
this?
A Mill deck. Yeah, why don't you tell people who don't know what a Mill deck is, what a Mill deck is.
Okay, so I was giving Micmac some history lessons from the old card game known as Magic the Gathering. And in the Antiquities expansion, they had a card called the Millstone. And you would pay 2 mana, which was the resource in Magic the Gathering, to take 2 cards from the top of a library, that's what they call the deck, the library, and place them in the graveyard, which is the discard pile. So you would make your opponent do it most of the time. There are probably strategies to do it for yourself. But for popping 2 mana every turn, you could just take that deck and whittle it down 2 cards every turn. So when people started making decks revolving around that artifact, it was the nature of the card, it was called an artifact, they started calling them mill decks because it used the mill stone. And I understand that terminology has carried over, that people are calling those types of decks in Hearthstone mill decks as well. And so I was playing against a druid, and if there is a minion or spell that would cause me to draw a card within a druid's grasp, this guy had it. He used the Murloc Oracles to make us both draw cards. He had that brand new Goblins versus Gnomes minion that it makes your opponent draw up to 3 cards. Man, if I had known we were going to talk about this, I would have had it all set in front of me. Does anybody remember what that's called? I'm looking through the list now.
Not but the Grove it, Tender, right? Because okay. They have
no,
that deck too.
It's Jeeves.
It could
it's
be
Jeeves.
The Jeeves at the end of
at
each
end of
player's,
each player's turn, that player,
that player
draws,
draws until they have God, we were
3
doing
cards.
Perfect sync there. Yep, 3 cards.
So
it's a 4-cast, it costs 1 for a mech.
Yeah, and he strategized it well so that he kept a whole bunch of taunt cards in his hands and big power minions in his hand, and so that he could play them later on. How he escaped getting fatigued himself, I'm not sure, because a lot of these cards made us both draw, but he probably, if I recall, he had a lot of cards that he could get rid of real fast. Instant damage spells or mini minions, but it played well, and it was at the point where every turn I was taking anywhere from 4 to 6 fatigue damage every single turn toward the end. And of course, he designed it so that he could, like, kill my minions quick. And when there's no cards to draw, there's no chance I'm getting a minion. So there was no way for me to damage him. So I think I actually, when I saw no light at the end of the tunnel, because the tunnel was gone, I just conceded. But that deck worked well for that player, and I was quite impressed as well as frustrated, because obviously the game went on a long time.
I played a mill deck too, and I...
What was he playing? Hold on one second, Micmac. What was he playing? What card? Druid. Hero? He was a druid, okay.
Yeah, druids are like the master at milling and making your opponents draw cards. I played one this week, and...
Now why? Before you talk about your experience, why is druid better than some other hero class?
Because they just have like innate cards that enable them to do so, like naturalize. Naturalize per mana cost costs one mana, and it removes a minion. Granted, your opponent draws two cards, and you don't really want your opponent to have cards, but it's the most efficient removal in the game. It's just a guaranteed boom, done. And if you're looking for a mill deck, that's a great way to do it. Plus the Cold Light Oracle, which is a neutral card, the Youthful Brewmaster. But Druid has a lot of healing. They have the Healing Touch. They have Tree of Life, which is...
That's what he did. He used that Healing Touch that heals... Is that the one that heals 8?
Yes.
He used 2 of them in one turn. I had this guy almost beat, and then he threw down both of those in a single turn. And I should have known what he was up to at the beginning, because he naturalized. He naturalized me early. I'm like, hey, this guy just gave me 2 cards. Cool. Then he put out that Oracle. Hey, he gave me some more cards. And then it started to dawn on me. Why is this guy giving me so many cards?
Right.
And I just couldn't get rid of them fast enough.
By the time you realized what was going on, it was too late.
Yeah, my good cards, my high power cards are popping up. Psst, you have too many cards. Psst, gone. I'm like, ah, it was so frustrating. It was almost as bad as playing against a priest, but at least it was imaginative.
Yes. It's unique. It's becoming more popular, but it is unique. It's not gimmicky, really. I mean, I guess it is.
It's pure
kind of gimmicking, but it's different. It's a new gimmick. It's not a Murloc deck.
It's not one we've been beaten by 1,000 times already, like a Zoo deck.
Interesting.
For it to work than just making your Lightwell a 10-10.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell us about your experience.
Well, I beat this Mill Druid deck, and it was based... I was using the deck that I tested this week from a listener. And I was at 1 HP, and he lost. And it was just such a long game. It must have taken half an hour. We're both in fatigue at this point. I understand that it is... I guess it is fun to play that deck. I've never played a mill deck before. But half an hour, that's longer than my Control Warrior games. And those are long games.
I've also noticed...
Go ahead, Buck.
We'll get back to the mill in a second, but I've also noticed that the giants are becoming more popular now that the Clockwork Giant has come out. I've been coming across quite a few people who are playing giant decks where they don't cast, then all of a sudden, boom, they've got 8/8 creatures across the board. Have you guys run into that at all this week?
Yes, that sounds like a Handlock deck, a Warlock Handlock deck, but with the Clockwork
I've
Giant?
I've had a couple of Warlocks. I had a Paladin do that to me, too.
Yeah, I've only played one guy ever with that deck.
What was that, Migmac?
No, I've only played one Paladin that ever had Giants in his deck. It was a very unique deck, and he used the card Holy Wrath, which you draw a card and you deal that much damage to, I think it's the hero. And he drew a Molten Giant and hit me for 20 damage.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the game.
Oh. So I didn't mean to circumvent your conversation about mills, but it made me realize that I've run into a lot of giants this week.
Well, I have a Golden Jeeves, and that makes me interested in making a mill deck. But what does not make me interested in making a mill deck is the fact that it's going to commit me to very long decks. I hate playing long games. Because I'm usually, most of my game time is done on the sly, in the moment, using ETT or at lunch at work, when I like to get 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games off. With this deck, I'd only get 2.
Better bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm. Next card, Honest Vein, why don't you read the second one for the Paladins?
Shielded Minibot, 2 casting costs. 2/2 mech, so 2/2/2. He's got Divine Shield. I guess if I were playing a mech deck and I needed a low cost minion to put out, I might play him. Mm-hmm. But I do have a couple of mech decks, and I think only my warrior deck has one of these in it. So,
well, it's a paladin card.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then it's
Silly Bean.
Oh, wait. Now I remember why I played this card. I long ago decided I was going to have a deck exclusively for the quest play
the weenie deck.
Play 20 minions that cost 3 or less, or whatever it's called.
Meek shall inherit.
Yeah. Two. So you're familiar with the quest.
Yes.
Two or less.
So I simply made this paladin deck, which 85% of the deck is just mini minions. And then I've got some buffing cards and things like that in there, and Avenging Wrath. So I went through the deck when I had that quest this week, and I took out some of the old cards that were there, and I put in some of the new cards from this expansion, and that included one or two of these. And it was nice, but it's not, like, super impressive to me.
It's a quick, fast card that has... It's decent because it's got the Divine Shield. It's not going to get killed on your first turn out there.
And it is a mech, so it gets buffed by mech buffing cards, but...
And it buffs other cards that are buffed by mechs. There right. are some cards that aren't mechs but get bonuses when you have mechs in play.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a fine card.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a common, so people who can only get a couple of packs of these cards and don't have the really, really nice, fancy ones could get some solid use out of this card.
Yep. I love the next card, the Coghammer. This is an epic 3 cast and cost, 2/3 card. The battle cry gives a random minion of yours, random friendly minion, divine shield and taunt.
I have this card.
Do you use it? I would use it. I don't have it. Do you use it?
I don't really play a paladin except for that deck I just mentioned, but maybe I'll put this in there just for the hell of it.
I think it's a good card. I mean, first of all, it's a weapon, so you've got your weapon card.
It's got a 3 durability, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. So you can smack something 3 times with it. It doesn't heal you like some of the other healing weapons do, or weapons do.
Well, let's hear what our weapon class using player has to say about this.
You mean Micmac?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to love this card, but if you read the text, give a random friendly minion. That can go south so fast, and paladins right now are having, I mean, they're flooding the board with tiny minions, so, you know, it may not go on the right minion and whatnot, but I think this card has some great uses. I like it, but I don't love it, simply because I can't choose who I want the Frenian to have Divine Shield and Taunt is.
Yeah, well, but it's only a 3 casting cost.
If you've got this card in your hand and all your minions are dead and you cast Bolvar and then drop that, you just put a Divine Shield and Taunt on a 14/7 in theory.
Yeah,
that's true. You could save it and use it as a targeted spell.
Again, reminding people... Just because it's in your hand doesn't mean you have to use it right away. Save it till the time is perfect.
I've been doing that with another weapon, with the Hunter. What is it? The Glaive Zooka?
Yes.
It buffs a random minion, and I will often time it so that I know which minion it's going to buff. Like, if the minion on the board, I want to buff him, I make sure I play the weapon before I play the other minions. So you could do a similar thing with this Coghammer. It's not terrible, but I'm certainly no expert on the Paladin deck by any stretch.
I like it. I like it a lot. So I'm probably going to, if I get it, I might even craft it for my Pally deck because I like it. I give it the thumbs up.
I'll give it a half a thumb up.
Half a thumb up.
How the hell do you have a half a thumb up?
Well, I lost on the wood chipper, so...
Unless it's up your... Never mind.
Both of you. Next card, Knickknack.
We have the 3 mana Muster for Battle. It's a rare. Summon 3 1/1 Silverhand Recruits and equip 4 weapon. I like this card a lot. I really like this card a lot, and it combos perfectly with another card that we'll get to in a little bit. But Yeah, I think this is one of the better cards Paladin has.
I think you should talk about that other combo now, because my next question was, why do I see people on the forums claiming that this is an overpowered card?
Oh,
because you follow up with the Quartermaster, which is a 5-mana, 2/5 epic. So right there, it's not that great. However, Battlecry, give your Silverhand recruits +2/+2. So you play Muster for Battle, okay? You have 3/1/1s out there. You play Quartermaster, and now you gave them all +2/+2. You have 3/3/3s out there.
A 1/4 weapon.
Yes, exactly. And let alone whatever else you played earlier. Maybe you had one or two other Silverhand recruits out there. So now you have a full board of some solid sturdy minions. Good luck.
Flame strike.
4/4 damage. And then after they flame strike you throw out Bolvar.
Now wait, are they still one toughness, or did the toughness get boosted too?
No, the
toughness is boosted.
2/2. Yep, the battle cry of the quartermaster is 2/2. So it makes them 3/3s.
Explosive trap.
And they're still alive with 1 health.
With 1 health.
No, not if they have only 2.
No, it gives your Silverhand recruits +2/+2. The card summons 3/1/1 Silverhand recruits. So do the math.
I got it.
Okay.
Autumn's Bane doesn't do math.
I see. And not to mention, if you've already got some Silverhand recruits out there, because that's your hero power, they get buffed too.
Yeah.
So it's a clever combo that you have to hope actually you get to play.
Yeah. I mean, you save Muster for Battle, and you save Quartermaster until you know that you can play it. Like, maybe on turn 4, you Muster for Battle, and then turn 5, you Quartermaster. So early game, you have a really nice, strong, sturdy board, and that mage can't flame strike you yet.
And then you play Enhanzo Meccano.
And then your opponent concedes.
I'm still loving that card.
Honestly.
Still loving that card. It happened today that I gave all of my minions Divine Shield, so I was able to wipe out all of the mini opponents' minions, and then live to attack the following turn. It's just, and every time I play it, it's different. That's what's fun about it.
It's a neutral card. The neutral card, epic. I don't have that one either. That's pretty cool. Again,
I love it.
For folks, forecast it costs 3/2 card battle cry. Give your other minions Wind Fury, Taunt, or Divine Shield at random.
Now, has it worked for you yet, Micmac, or is it still a bummer every time you draw it?
Nope. This week has been amazing, and I always hope for Wind Fury. I just always do, just in my mind, even if it's not the best situation. I just hope, oh please, Wind Fury, because it's a lot of damage if you have a nice full board. And it worked well. I put it into a zoo deck that I made, and yeah, every time he came out, it was like Christmas morning, again and again and again.
And almost all the time, if you've got 4, 5, 6 minions out there, at least one of them gets taunt. So you're blocking their minions while you're Wind Furying over to their side. I just love that card. Back to the Paladin.
That would be you. You're up.
Okay. So here's a card I don't have. 3 casting costs, 4 power, 3 toughness, Scarlet Purifier. It's a rare card. The battle cry is deal 2 damage to all minions with Death Rattle. So somebody's playing their Nax deck because they haven't gotten Goblins versus Gnomes yet. And so everything in their deck is Death Rattle. And you put this guy out and nice. But I think it's got limited use, so I wouldn't use it.
Well, you can put it in your own Death Rattle deck, and that way you can actually cause your own Death Rattles to go off.
By killing my minions.
Right, but depending on what the Death Rattles are, you can have more with the mech decks, you can have more minions appearing.
Well, kind of the purpose of having a minion with a Death Rattle is you get to use the minion as the minion. And then when he dies, you use the Death Rattle. I wouldn't want to kill them intentionally, but Feign Death is another matter. I get to use the Death Rattle and then get to use the Death Rattle when I die.
I kind of am very happy to see this card just because it's a Scarlet Crusader. I love the Scarlet Crusade.
The Scarlet Monastery.
Oh my god. Just Warcraft, the Scarlet Crusaders, they're the complete... They're all screwed up in the head. But they're just such an
They're
awesome,
zealots.
Yes, they're just awesome zealots. They really are.
They're Tea Party.
No. No.
Okay. Micmac, you're awfully quiet.
Yeah, this card is interesting. I think it has a lot of cool uses that people can just do for fun. I don't know if this would be competitive in a competitive deck or be in a competitive deck for that matter. I think this works well with Nerubian Egg, because if you had two eggs out and you slam down the Scarlet Purifier, boom, you pop out 2/4/4s. And that's pretty strong. But there's a lot of death rattles that you don't want to happen initially. Like Leper Gnomes you do, but the Abomination, which deals 2 damage to everything, you may want to wait a little bit on that. So, I haven't seen this card played at all in any format, but I think it has some cool uses. So maybe somebody out there will figure out some amazing, fun deck and let us know about it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it played by anyone either.
I haven't either. I just like it because it's a Scarlet Purifier, but I actually wouldn't put it in my deck.
Yeah, I could see designing it a deck to make this work with it, you know, like some of the other cards we've seen. But it's just, I think there's a reason none of the three of us have actually seen it played.
Yeah. I'm just going to speed things up a little bit because Micmac has to play with his deck soon. Bolvar Four Dragon is the next card, number 5 mana cost, and it's a 1/7 if you just cast it as itself. It's a 1/7, but this is the one we've discussed it over and over, so we're going to kind of glean over it. Whenever a friendly minion dies, while this is in your hand, gain +1 attack. I have it. I love it. It's in my Pally deck. That's enough said. It's wonderful.
Yeah, we've talked about him every turn since this started.
Yeah.
Yeah, so next. I think we'd all give him the thumbs up. So, Micmac, you're up again.
All right, this is such a weird card. This is a 5 mana Cobalt Guardian. It's rare. It's a 6/3. Whenever you summon a mech, gain Divine Shield. It's just so weird. I guess you could have this out and just hope to just kind of clear a bunch of minions that your enemy plays, and you can just keep giving your Cobalt Guardian Divine Shield. But it seems kind of clunky to me. It's got some weird stats. 6/3, so it's easy to kill without Divine Shield, and it's 5 mana. I don't know. I haven't seen this card played at all. It's just so weird.
Well, it is a mech, so it has that advantage. And 6 attack is pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. 3 is easy to kill, but the point is keep it shielded. So
until somebody throws silence on it.
Yeah, you play him when you have a bunch of little mechs in your hand, and oh, he's got Divine Shield. I'll attack with him.
Actually,
the shield
before,
is gone. I'll play another one.
You're going to want a lot of mechs in this deck. This is definitely a deck that has to have a lot of mechs to make this card effective.
Right, but let's say I play him, and then I summon a mech. Now he's got Divine Shield.
Mm-hmm.
I attack my opponent, not to the face, but I take out a big minion on the other side. And then I play another mech, and now he's got Divine Shield. So you could just keep giving it Divine Shield over and over again, in theory. We know how these theories work. They don't always
right,
pan out in reality.
Right, because the next time somebody hits you with a 1/1 creature with dies instantly and then slams you for the next 3 and is dead the next turn.
And he looks super awesome in gold, by the way.
Ooh. Oh, does he?
Yeah, his shield
that
is
shield
like all
resonating.
Swirly. Yep.
Nice.
Got a little Iron Man
vibe
there.
Do you
want to
do the last one?
We kind of already went over him. But it's... Mm-hmm. The Quartermaster again. Do you want to go over it again?
No, you're
nah,
kind of right.
Fine.
The last one of the Paladins, the Quartermaster, 2/5 creature, 5 casting cost, and as we said, give your Silverhand recruits +2/+2. So it goes
and he's
along.
Epic.
And he's epic. Goes along very well with Muster for Battle. Ta-da! That is the Paladin for the week. Next
do
week
have
we'll
one?
Do the Priest. Me?
Do you have one?
No.
Do you, Mick?
I have 2 Quartermasters. I crafted 2 of them just to play a Paladin deck, and
nice.
I haven't played it that much, though. But when I have played it, it's been really fun and cool. It's a popular deck right now, the Muster for Battle and Quartermaster combination.
Yeah, I have four
800
favorites.
Dust you paid for cards you rarely use. That's hardcore.
I like the Quartermaster. I like the Muster for Battle. I like the Cog Hammer. The only one I have other than those, which I don't have any of those, is the Bolvar. The others I could care less about, the other four.
So you're going to play a Paladin now. Goodbye, Shaman.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm going Rogue.
Okay.
Paladin's always been my second. Mm-hmm. It's always been Shaman, Paladin, Mage.
It used to say Mage has always been your second.
Then I got Tyrion.
Yeah, you got Tyrion and Bolvar. You need to make a Paladin deck, woman.
I have it.
Okay.
Silly Goose? That's what I was saying. I played it.
Hey, Mic-Mac, what about that deck?
What about that deck? Let's see here. So, this week I tested a ladies deck from Chandra. Chandra writes in saying, I've been playing with a deck I made for a while and it seems to be fun and competitive. So I thought I would send it to you to try. I call it my Magic Army. There's a small army here, some magic, some that give magic, some that block magic, some that are summoned by magic, and some spells to feed the mana worms. Hope you like it. I love your show and have been listening since turn one. Mic-Mac has been a fun addition to your already fun show. I listen on the way to school with the kids and finish listening at work. Thanks for the fun, Chandra. So, I'm going to read off Chandra's deck. If I don't say a number in front of it, that means that there's two. So, it's called Magic Army. We have Clockwork Gnome, Mana Worm, Flame Cannon, Unstable Portal, which is an amazing card, Micro Machine, Snow Chugger, Stone Splinter Trog, Spellbender. Spellbender, that is the reason why I wanted to test this deck, because it's the forgotten secret of Mage. Vaporize, one Illuminator, one Tinkertown Technician, one Arcane Nullifier, two Goblin Blast Mage, one Kizan Mystic, Mechanical Yeti, Stampeding Kodo, and Flame Strike. So, there isn't any card draw on this deck, and I was sort of concerned that I would be dead in the water, but I never was truly just without cards in my hand or options to have to play. I went 2-3 with the deck, which is, it's okay. I played casual. The Unstable Portal, in one of my games, I got the Beast, and he was a nightmare for my opponent to deal with. The Beast is, for those of you that don't know, he's a 9-7 for 6 mana, and when he dies, your opponent gets a 3-3 Finkel Einhorn. It's a very scary combination.
And every time I play the Beast, he gets killed instantly before I have a chance to attack with him, and my opponent gets the Finkel Einhorn. Just my luck.
Remind me about a play I did with the Unstable Portal when you're done with this discussion about her deck.
Sure. So I play, as we spoke about earlier about the Mill Druid deck, I used this particular deck, the Magic Amy, against the Mill Druid, and I was about to lose. And then, of course, the forgotten Mage Secret Spellbender saved me. He went to go taunt up one of his minions, and with his rusty horn that he got, oh, whoops, guess it looks like my 1-3 Spellbender minion took that rusty horn. So I thought that was kind of cool and funny. Really,
Horn is what, a spare part?
Yes, rusty horn's a spare part that gives a particular minion taunt. And so Spellbender, whenever your opponent targets a minion with a spell, you summon a 1-3 to take that instead. So it's kind of like Counterspell, but not all. It won't always go off like Counterspell will. And Counterspell just counters any particular spell that your opponent plays. So, yeah, I actually had a pretty good time with this deck. 2-3, I mean, it's not the greatest, it's not the worst, but Spellbender really made me smile a little bit. So, thanks, Chandra.
Thank you for the email as well. That was really nice. Nice to hear.
Hopefully you've listened to 60 episodes now.
Right? This is 60. All right, 60 today.
Big 6-0.
The big 6-0. All right, so the card you were just talking about, the Unstable Portal, 2 casting costs, add a random minion to your hand, it costs 3 less. I played that on my priest, okay? Oh. I was playing the priest. So which is to say that I did a thought steal, got the Unstable Portal, which adds a random minion to my hand and it costs 3 less. That random minion wound up being a 0. It was, not King Crush. Who's the ape?
King Mukla.
King Mukla. So he was now a zero casting cost, so I threw him out, gave my opponent two bananas. That opponent then cast a big card and then put two bananas on it to make it a 9/9 creature, which case, before he could attack, because he cast it at that point, he still had summoning sickness, I cast my Shadow Word Death, destroy a minion with attack of 5 or more. He had used his bananas. He had cast his big creature, which I then killed it. He conceded.
Death by potassium.
Death by potassium, which is what I usually do when I come against a priest. But yeah, Thought Steal, I get to try a lot of the Goblin versus Gnome cards that I don't have by Thought Stealing them. This is how you play with all the cards.
That's right. Steal your opponents.
So, steal your opponents, and that's what the priest does. I never thought of priests as being such thieves, but that seems to be the way to play them. So that ends the discussion. Did you finish with the deck? Did you have more to say on her deck?
No, that's pretty much it. I went 2-3. Thanks, Chandra, for sending it in. Spellbender, I was expecting, Spellbender to never help me out at all, but she did. And it was fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good card. It doesn't seem like that until you start playing it or seeing it played, and then it's like, oh! So, last thing we want to talk about as we run out of time. Keep February 7th open, because that is the date of our fourth tournament.
For the Rumble in the Jungle.
The Soulbound Basic Cards Tournament. We're only going to do this one time, putting everybody on equal footing. The decks have to be Soulbound Basic Cards, so we're playing vanilla. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, February 7th, 9th. Yeah, 19. Oh my God. 2015.
We'll get those invitations out soon. Again, contact us if you want to be added.
And remember, if it has a gem in the middle, you can't use it.
Right.
Exactly.
Gemless cards only.
Exactly.
No knacks, no goblins, no promotional cards. Just the stuff you get for playing the basic classes.
Yetis and Boulder Fist Ogres. Oh my.
Yep, so Letha, Alec, we will be putting you onto our mailing list like you requested, so you'll get the invitation to the tournament. Everybody else, feel free to email us, tell us you want to be in, and we will hold the spot for you. Gentlemen, start your engines. Wait, it's the end of the show. This is your last chance to say something else.
Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah, happy New Year. I said something else, and that was my last chance to do so.
I know. I'm laughing.
On the inside.
On the inside. So you can find us at Twitter at A Worthy Opponent and Twitch TV on Monday nights at Hollow Sweet Media. You can listen to us live and chat with us in the chat room. You can email us at awohearthstone@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes. Go ahead and give us a review. We'll give you a shout out. You can see us on Facebook at AWO Hearthstone, Stitcher Satellite Radio, Google Plus at A Worthy Opponent. And special thanks to Hollow Sweet Media for sponsoring this crazy crew. Theme music provided by Awesome City Limits. And once again, thank you all for listening and happy hearthing.
Bye all. See you next week.
The end is coming.
And I can't wait until winter is going.
You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.
Hooray! Woo!
Woohoo! Oh, it's so much fun doing the show. Like, I'm very happy I'm back. So I had a dream. I need a ride to work, or else I'm going to lose my job. And I said, well, you're kind of far away. And you said, well, if you don't come up, Black Lace will lose her job, too. So I got up there, and I said, okay, where do we go? And you said, both of you worked at McDonald's. I don't know why.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was so bizarre.
And this is going at the end of this week's show.
All right, so, Blacklace, what's up?
Did you have any dreams about us?
Hell no.
Not even a little bit?
No.
I'm still going to have fun at the end of this episode. Can I get you to sing for me? Can you sing, Do You Want to Build a Snowman?
Definitely.
Do you want to build a snowman? I don't know it.
I mean,
do you want to play some Hearthstone? Do you want to touch my deck?
Yes, I do. I played with a ladies' deck this week.
Now.
You played with a ladies' deck?
I did.
Oh, this is sick. You're going to really post this too. I can hear us now.